Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers. FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Guzu Saba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity is so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, and that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Because of America's wicked mistreatment of God's chosen people that are here in the midst of this no-good beast. So when God damns America, condemns America.
By the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate. And despite all of that and all of the fallout from that, he has not blinked. He has not wavered. He has not taken one single step in a backwards direction. You all know who I'm talking about. You've come out here tonight to greet him, to show support for him, to demonstrate your love for Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Dr. Khalid.
All right.
Brother.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful,
turn it up.
All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. We forever give thanks and praise to Almighty God for coming, as it was written in the sacred scriptures, that he would come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we can find no other people fitting the description of the lost brother, the lost sister, or the lost sheep, except we, the 50 million or more, mentally and spiritually dead, black men and black women here in the hells of North America. And so we thank him for coming in the person of Master Farad Muhammad and for raising up his messenger and his Messiah to the black man and black woman here in the hells of North America and throughout the world. I speak of none other than the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And in the name of the man who is my spiritual father, who is my teacher, and who has been my mentor, and who is responsible largely for my spiritual rites of passage, I speak of none other than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In their name, in their names, I greet you with the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Hotep. Shalom. Shia Lafia Ni. And black laws for all black people, free to land. And for others, what's up? It's indeed my honor to be black again at this great forum of the United African Movement, spearheaded by the dynamic and divine leadership of one who is tireless and relentless in our midst, and one who is well acquainted with controversy, well acquainted with adversity, well acquainted with injustice, well acquainted with the oppression and the attempted repression of the enemy, but one who will not bow down and will not be bought. Attorney Alton Maddox. My subject this evening, I will cover many topics under this subject, but with us standing on the threshold of the national election. It was 30 years ago that Minister Malcolm X, the great and dynamic national spokesman for the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in his message to the grassroots, he spoke to the grassroots of our people. And tonight I want to speak to the grassroots, to those who are in the dirt, those who are in the muck and the mire and the mud of the white man's world. 30 years ago, Malcolm said it was a case of the chickens coming home to roost. And tonight, I want to tell you that 30 years later, it's a case of the chickens coming home to roost. Malcolm's subject 30 years ago on the threshold of a national election was the ballot or the bullet. And my subject 30 years later on the threshold of a national election is the bullet or the bullet. That's my subject here tonight. The bullet or the bullet. You don't have no other choice. Some of you are waiting around. You were glued to the television screen watching these two no good crackers debate just a few nights ago. And you are trying to make up your mind which peck of wood you're going to vote for. This is the year of the bullet or the bullet. You don't have no choice. One cracker named Bill Clinton, nicknamed Slick Willie. Would you buy a used car from a cracker named Slick Willie? An adulterer. Huh? Doesn't even live up to the standards of his own nation. A draft dodger. A dope head. A cracker who gets high and then wants to fool you and hoodwink you and tell you, I didn't inhale. A dope head. An adulterer. And one who doesn't even follow the standards of his own people, a draft dodger, Slick Willie, lied to you 4 years ago, still lying to you 4 years later. And another cracker, an old wrinkled, crippled, crazy cracker. Cracker with a funny hand, shaking people's hand with his left hand. And you tell me I'm voting for this cracker, some of you for president, and the damn peckerwood can't even stay on the stage. The cracker fell off the goddamn stage. fell out in the audience. Can you imagine you're supposed to get off of Air Force One and salute the Marine Corps and salute the honor guard when you step off the plane? Now, what will this cracker do with this funny hand? What is he going to do? Get off the plane and try to throw up a salute with that funny hand? Some of you say, why be so personal? Why not attack the man's policy? Why not attack the platform that the man stands on? Don't deal with the man's personal life. Don't deal with him. Deal with this policy. Well, I'm a military scientist. And in military science and military strategy, you don't just attack the tank, you attack the fueling depot that the tank depends on. You don't just attack the train, you attack the track that the train runs on. You don't just try to deal with the cracker once the plane, the bomber plane is in the air. You attack that which is responsible for giving the plane what is necessary in its power and energy to lift up off the ground. And so I attack the cracker too and his policy. You talking about civil rights. Ain't no damn civil rights. The cracker ain't never been civil and he ain't never been right. You talking about, well, what about human rights? The cracker ain't human and he ain't never been right. It's the year of the bullet or the bullet. You either deal or die. You either fight back or get destroyed. You either get on the right side or it's genocide. It's the year of the bullet or the bullet. You've been voting for crackers ever since they allowed you to vote. And tonight we want to cover some of the history here. The history teaches us that from 1870 to 1901, blacks served in the various states as congressmen and sat in every Congress from the 41st to the 56th, with one exception. says they were brilliant men. They were great orators. In fact, during the period of Reconstruction, we were mayors, we were sheriffs, we were senators, we were congressmen, and even B.K. Bruce was in the Treasury Department, and his signature was on all paper money in America. No matter how racist a cracker was, a big pot belly, beer belly, snuff dipping, tobacco chewing, straw chewing, overall wearing peck of wood, no matter how much he hated niggers, he had to handle currency and money that had the signature of a black man in the Treasury Department on it. What is my point? During Reconstruction, it looked like a period of political prosperity. It looked like we were going to make it. As the historians say, we had good jobs working for ourselves. Many of us had good farmland. We were making what was called good money. And we were in high positions. But when the white man decided that he was through with niggas being in political office, then no matter how many elected positions we had, no matter how much money we had, no matter how much land we had, no matter what we had, the white man stood in the door of Congress, and they were armed in the door of Congress, and they said, no more nigger senators coming through these doors. They went to the floor of the Senate and the Congress and stood in the door armed to make sure that we didn't enter those what they call portals of the government of the United States of America. They went to the sheriff's office. Crackers stood armed, shotguns, pistols, big beer belly peckerwoods, standing outside. And the black sheriff showed up at the sheriff's office. He was elected by the people. But when the black sheriff showed up at the sheriff's office, crackers armed and cocked their guns on him. And all you could hear was the staccato of the cocking of their weapons on him, saying, nigga, you're not the sheriff no more. We got a new sheriff in town. Big Bubba here. Big Bubba's the sheriff, not nigga. He said, but I was duly elected by the people. They said, nigga, you better get on with this, nigga. A Big Bubba here gonna rescue, nigga. You ain't the sheriff here no more, nigga. We taking the law back into our own hands, nigga. It looked like a period of political prosperity. Civil Rights Act. Voter Rights Act. Johnson sitting down penning the Civil Rights Act of 1964. If the Civil Rights Act was worth what was written on the paper, then Martin Luther King and those who would come after him would not have to fight so hard if it had meant anything. If the Voting Rights Bill had meant anything during Reconstruction, then Fannie Lou Hamer and others wouldn't have had to fight so hard coming behind the Voting Rights Bill. What am I saying here tonight? I'm taking an unpopular position, which is not new for me. I'm saying that separation is the best and only solution. I'm saying, as a reminder to you, that we must have a nation of our own. Because every time we vote together in a solid block, I know what Malcolm said to you 30 years ago. And all the great that Malcolm did, Malcolm was feeling. Malcolm was studying and searching and digging and researching and finding himself. And so Malcolm said, in such matters, vote in a solid block. He talked about the Democrat and the Dixiecrat. He talked about, stop talking about the South, he said. Anytime you're south of the Canadian border, Malcolm said, you're in the South. Malcolm said, it's no democracy, nothing but disguised hypocrisy. No American dream, nothing but an American nightmare. The Supreme Court has passed down new rulings now in various states across the country, striking down what is called majority-minority voting districts. Striking down majority-minority voting districts. What does that mean? It means a district that has a great population of black people who have gone out and registered to vote and who believe that they have real power because they've registered to vote. Let me stop for a minute. I am proud to say that I am not registered to vote. I have never voted. And when a strong black candidate comes along, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit tonight, a black candidate who is not afraid of the white man, a black candidate who comes in the mold of Adam Clayton Powell Jr., a black candidate who has sat at the feet of Adam Clayton Powell Jr., if a bold black candidate comes along, then the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad says such candidates should have the total backing of the black nation, that all of us should get behind such a candidate as that. But to get behind some glorified shower curtains and pull a lever for one cracker over another cracker, another Pinocchio-eared cracker named Perot. Here's a cracker that has lied so much his nose won't grow, his damn ears grow. Who are the candidates? Satan, the devil, Lucifer, and with Buchanan running, Buchanan, that's who he is, Satan, the devil, Lucifer, and Beelzebub. And either one you vote for, you're going to still end up catching hell. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad never told us to vote for a white man. He said we should find the right qualifications in a black candidate. One again who is not afraid of the white man and who will stand up for reparations and who will stand up for the freedom and independence of our people and will not back down from the white man. Got Negroes in this town talking about backing the white man over a black man. A black man who anytime you're in trouble, sometimes he's there before the police get there. Sometimes there before the ambulance gets there. But you got a Negro in this town named Butts.
Black power, black power family. Welcome to New Black Panther Party Radio. Call in right now, 718-664-6398. Press the number 1. Live here tonight with the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Our national chairwoman, Sister Crystal Muhammad, live here with your host, Brother Katib Sadiq, National Chief of Staff. And as we open up this broadcast, we were hearing from our great, wise, honorable ancestor, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. You know, and if you've been joining us for the last few nights, you know, really, you know, going on the last few days, we've been updating and constantly, you know, continuing to give our report on what is, you know, the situation between our Haitian brothers and sisters and the U.S. government, specifically the DHS and Border Patrol, and the unjust and inhumane treatment and human rights violations that we've seen used against our people. You know, we want to, as we do in every broadcast, to encourage you to join the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense by visiting our national website at nbpp.org. You can support the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense by putting out this information and putting out the propaganda for this broadcast and all the other things that we do, as well as supporting the New Black Panther Party and all of our efforts as we continue to work in our efforts to bring relief, not only in the aftermath of storms that are caused naturally, but also during and in the aftermath and, you know, throughout the troubles and tribulations we face at the hands of this wicked oppressor. and that's what we'll be discussing here tonight. So everybody that tuned in tonight, we have a powerful broadcast for you. We'll be joined by two of our great comrades. We'll be joined by Brother Gerald and Brother Travis, the new Black Panther Party Southern Region. And we're going to have our brothers, let's get a mic check from our two brothers here tonight. Brother Travis, Brother Gerald, can you hear us? Black Power.
Black Power, yes, sir. I can hear you.
Black Power, brother, I can hear you.
Yes, sirs. Yes, brothers. Yes, brothers. You know, now I want to say this, you know, this is not being something that we've just sat on, in Houston, Texas. We got word that there was a place where our brothers and sisters were being held, a shelter, so the two brothers went and checked out the conditions of the shelter, and we'll get a field report from our two brothers here tonight. So however you all want to do it, maybe we can start start with Brother Travis, and then we'll go with you, Chief Staff, Brother Gerald, and we'll just get into it. We want to hear, you all's field report. And as we've been telling our listeners, we'll continue to, give information as this all develops. So I want to open up the mic to you two brothers, Black Power. And thank you all for being on tonight.
Black Power, brother.
Black Power. Certain reasons, Commander Brother Travis Rain. Yeah, on yesterday, comrades, Chief Gerald, Southern Region Chief Staff Jerry and our comrade went down to the camp where our brothers and sisters was being held. And when we got up on the ground, we went in as volunteer workers. We didn't, raise too much, eyes on us, to make sure that we were able to get in,
mm-hmm.
Once we got inside, we noticed that our brothers and sisters was real clean. Their spirits was up. They felt that we had translators on the ground, and we made sure that they was going, because we was told that everyone that was there already made contact with family, and they did have contact with family, and they were going to go meet up with family. So after hearing that, we wanted to confirm that, with our brothers and sisters and make sure what we hearing is the same thing that they hearing. And I know they had their cell phones. So, and when you move around through there, you understand that they had their communication going on. So if they felt something, wasn't right ahead, I noticed they was already on alert, that I did notice. So the comrades and I, we moved around through the facility and, checked out the living arrangements, everything that was in place. We noticed that they had even areas where that they could use the phones, they could use the internet, whatever they needed, it was there. So we was looking around, we noticed that they was able to leave. They was actually able to leave if they wanted to, those who was running the program, they stood back, came aware of who we really was, and they They stood back and they actually let us go through. And we weren't volunteer workers no more. You know, they knew exactly what we was there for, you know. And they let us move through the facility to let us see that, you know, they was getting treated, you know, with much respect. I even got a chance to go through there and help prepare some of the menu, you know. They was preparing food, you know. Some of our brothers and sisters was putting that, them good meals together, you know, straight from scratch. And I was sitting there learning how to put some of it together myself. And, you know, it was much love. The condition that our people in at this time and what they going through, you know, it's a struggle and, you know, it's going to get better. But at this time, you know, I just like to say that our family energy is high, you know. They feel good. The energy is up there. You know, they ain't broken. You know, our little warriors was running around there after we left last night. You know, the little warriors was running around there. You know, they was enjoying themselves, you know. And, you
so
know, I just wanted to get that. Go ahead, bro.
I was asking, what are the conditions today? Because when I looked at it, that whole bridge has been cleared.
Well,
is that Brother Gerald?
This is
no.
Dr. Alameen Muhammad.
Oh,
well.
Black Power. This is Minister Robert. Robert Abdullah Muhammad, Black Power.
I love it. I love it. You know, we open up the mic. Listen. Oh, make sure we're going to open up Gerald's line, too. We thought we had Gerald was you, but, man, everything works perfectly. Yeah, we're going to have Brother Travis respond to Brother Abdul Muhammad, and then we got a special extra guest, Black Power. And guess what, family? We got to tell y'all, we're down here in Del Rio, and we're going to, you know, we actually made it down here from San Antonio. We linked up with some comrades and got supplies in San Antonio. But by the time we were getting ready to leave out this morning, they said they had moved everyone. We was told that they were at a shelter down here. So we went to the location that was supposed to be a shelter, but they said they moved them. So we're trying to get the right information. We got you all full of 3 pallets of water and fresh fruits and vegetables and granola bars. So we're going to keep giving you guys intel, but the work that's going on in Houston is very important. So, Brother Abdul, give us 1 quick second, Brother Minister. We're going to make sure Gerald's mic is open, too, and then we're going to hear from the Houston folks, and this is the People's Radio. We got it till 9 o'clock, Black Power. Okay. What's the last, Brother Travis, 4 numbers of Gerald's phone? We can make sure we open up his mic.
What is it? 2546. Let me see.
Okay.
Hold up. It's 20.
While he's finding that out, I want to say even a lot of self-determination.
It's 7532.
7532. All right. I want to say there's been a lot of self-determination with the Houston organizations. We got the Panthers, we got the Nation, we got InBuffon. There's whole saying, tell no lies and claim no easy victories. We gonna tell the truth and fear report. But hold on, open them up. Okay. Then we gonna have a
Brother Gerald, can you hear us?
Black Power, Black Love.
Black Power, Black Love, Chief.
Can anybody hear me?
Yes, sir. Chief.
Okay. Yeah, Black Power, Black Love. Happy to be amongst everybody.
Brother,
I'm Brother Gerald Justice, Southern Regional Chief of Staff for the Southern Regional Black Panther Party. As was said earlier, dealing with our commander, Travis Rain, we basically answered a call in Houston. The organization NBUF put out a call for Wednesday for friends and anybody to step out to be in support of what was going on. I think the whole country had saw our Haitian people being treated differently than we had. You know, this border crisis has been going on for years and years. And it's the first time that we ever seen an image of, you know, this horseback and, you know, look like they're trying to whip somebody, taking us right back into slavery times. So as we supposed to be, we should be up on. We should unite. We should try to figure out what the hell is going on. So it was a call put out in Houston, and the usual suspect showed up. New Black Panther Party with Crystal Muhammad and her comrades showed up. Southern Regional New Black Panther Party comrades showed up. Brother Delord, Brother Kofi, who hosted it. We had the drummers, OG1. Again, the usual suspects showed up in Houston, and we protested. We're trying to get other people interested or get involved. A lot of people do a lot of things on their computers, but when it's time to really get involved, you know, they just keyboard. So that was a simple thing. Right. That's really not nothing. Just come out showing support, hold up a sign, try to get somebody to blow a horn just to show you the support. So that happened. And as that event happened,
Yes. Right before I had unmuted your line, the minister had asked a question to Brother Travis. So I want to definitely allow for the minister to get that answer. And if you could, Brother Minister, could you repeat the question that you asked? And we're just gonna have a little round table. You know, but I definitely want, because you know, it seemed like it was very powerful. So could you repeat the question, Brother Minister, and then if we allow Brother Travis to answer, and then we'll have Brother Gerald come in after that, we'll just go back and forth.
No problem.
Yes. Black Power, I want to say I commend you, brothers, because in these days and times, we are definitely have to stick together. We are one of a kind, and we are a great people, and we have to stick together as not only as a nation, but we have to stick together as a melanated people all over the planet. And what we saw happen to our melanated brothers on the planet is a definite cause for us to stick together, because that same thing could have happened to us in America, but they showed us how their true colors was. So my question was, I woke up this morning, and I understand what you guys are saying and all that you are saying and all that you have done, and I commend that greatly. I woke up this morning, and that whole bridge was cleared.
Listen, I think I thought this is Abdul Muhammad. Is this Abdul Muhammad out of Atlanta?
No, this is Alameen Muhammad out of Texas.
Oh, Alameen. Okay. We had a little confusion, Brother Alameen. Okay, so you were asking.
No problem.
So you were asking about what's going on down here at the border?
Yes, being in Texas, I'm in Texas right now. I live in Texas, and I'm saying that after hearing all the great work that we have done, I woke up this morning, and the whole bridge is cleared.
Yes, our formation, we're down here in Del Rio at the border, where the border is, and that was what we've been told. By the time we got up, we had already loaded up the U-Haul and was trying to get to the location. But we were also informed that there was a shelter in Del Rio, but the comrades in Houston, Brother Travis and Brother Gerald with the Southern Regional New Black Panther Party, were down there and went and volunteered to facilitate for the brothers and sisters that went to shelter in Houston. So I think I want to, that was a very valid question. of what you ask, it'll get hold real quick. We, you know, y'all got to understand that we're literally on the road engineering this show, and it's so much energy and it's so much black love that we you know, we are fact-finding, but that is very much true, brother, from what we've seen so far. We're literally on the ground right here in Del Rio, and that's everything that's what was told to us. We came anyway with these supplies to make sure it wasn't no disinformation. We were trying to locate the shelter address that was sent to us. When we got to that location, there were no people there. And so we're trying to, you know, make sure we have proper intel. We're not going to give any false flag reports. But in addition, and most immediately, the comrades with the Southern Regional New Black Panther Party were dealing with our people in Haiti. Now, with that being said,
yeah.
Hold tight, brother Muhammad, and let's have Brother Gerald finish, and then we're going to bring you, complete his thought, and then Brother Travis, then we'll open back up to you and anybody else that has any questions. Black Power. As you were, yeah. Brother Gerald and Brother Travis, Black Power,
Black Power.
Brother Gerald. Black Power.
Okay. So as I was saying, as we're at the protest Wednesday, we kind of heard word that there were our brothers and sisters that were making it into Houston. So that was a little confusing because, again, we're seeing all the negative on TV, and then we're hearing that they've possibly are coming into Houston. So that night after the maneuver, we make it home and we get back in contact with Sister Crystal and New Black Panther Party, and we talk about what should be done next. That morning, Sister Crystal and my commander got back in touch, and they told us, hey, we're going to go down to Del Rio. We're going to the border. At that time, we told them we couldn't make it. We would deal with it in Houston. So that's the part that I'm talking about, where me, the commander, and my minister of defense, we went to Houston Haitians United. And this is a place where they are being processed in Houston. Some type of way, somebody is funding some buses or something, and they're bringing them from Del Rio to Houston. So, again, we volunteer to get inside to see. Our whole thing is we want to see what are the conditions of our people. We don't want nobody to tell us. We want to be there and see it. So we go, we get inside, we do our volunteer work. And again, as the commander said earlier, we can see the people. For us understanding what they've been through in this process, I can honestly say our people look good. What that tells you is our people are strong. We have some strong people. One thing that I was noticing, the first people that they are getting here, they are getting women that are pregnant or women that have small children. That process, you can clearly see that they are the first ones coming over. In this process that is done, they either are staying in Houston or they have other places to where someone has vouched for them. Okay? And they're getting plane tickets, they're getting money, they're getting fed, they're getting clothes. They're getting all the necessities they need. I can assure you that we were able to vibe with our people. We were able to vibe. The biggest thing is the language barrier. You know, they come up to you thinking that you speak French or Spanish, and when you don't speak French or Spanish, they kind of look at you crazy. You know, which tells me that a lot of our melanated people don't speak English. You know, they don't speak English. So that's the process that's just happening here in Houston as they're being processed. I heard a question asked earlier about the thing being bulldozed, and this is just for me observing and just kind of watching. What happened was they said there was at least 15,000 immigrants made it to that border. What they're saying is that they were not all Haitians, though. And again, in this process that they're coming to Houston, these are not all Haitians. These are just people that's trying to get to America. The majority of that group are Haitian.
We have direct intel on this. We have direct, because like we said, we've been here and we deal with the other comrades, other brothers. It was another group of brothers out of Houston that came down, some Hebrew brothers, and they were down. And we've been talking with other Haitian other organizing groups here. There were 15,000 Haitians. And as I was saying earlier, a lot of people did not make it, mostly the men, or if you were not with a family. So they had two different bus systems going, right?
Yeah.
The buses, they had the red stripe. Those buses, if they had, they did like a little filter, the screening process. Okay. Some people were actually, like they were detained in like the jail. And we even got images, we'll show where they even had ankle monitors on these brothers. And they put them on the buses that didn't have no red stripes. Our white buses with the tinted out windows, they put them brothers on those buses and they deported them. And some other people was being told that they was going to be taken to be placed to get, processed, and then they was deporting them. So there is a lot of political play in place. Now, if about 1,000 out of 15,000 are in Houston, then that means 90% of the rest of the people, we have to get the facts out and find out where they are. Just like we were told all the way about the facility down here, but when we get to this facility, there's no one there. You know, we even had Yandy Smith and Tamika Mallory and them flew down here this morning. And they were told everybody was gone. They were the first people to tell us that the people are saying that they were gone. But just two nights before, it was even the brothers that came down out of Houston, the Hebrew brothers, it was a lot of people at the border. They tried to go through the United States side. They would not let them go. So they had to go down to Eagle Pass, and we'll have them come in on the show. They have documentation. They had to go through the Mexico side, cross over to Mexico, and bring supplies. So there's a lot that like right now, we're getting different reports, but we're going to pull this all together. You know, there's intel that Travis and Gerald have from what's going on in Houston. We have some intel that we've gathered from being down here, and it's still a few big question marks, you know, that still must be answered. There were people that were directly, like I said, deported, mostly males. If they didn't have a female or child with them, there were some before the public attention came about the inhumane treatment, there were people that were actually detained in the jail. And there's been a lot of political pressure from, I would say, mostly our people here, you know, that demanding that the Biden administration do right by our people, just like 95,000 people were brought here from Afghanistan. They didn't get separated, men, women, children, this kind of bus, that kind of bus, to our understanding. But again, we're not going to tell no lies and claim an easy victory. It is a wonderful thing that the comrades say that the brothers and sisters that made it to Houston are being treated humanely. That's a beautiful thing. We will make sure that we have follow-up. But there's also some not-so-positive reports that we got about the people that were getting deported, which is illegal, because if someone is fleeing political asylum or political unrest, they are not supposed to be detained either at the Mexican border or the American border. So these are some things that we will, as the days go by, we will do our best to give answers on. I will say this, because due to security reasons, we're going, you know, making sure that we'll start back fresh tomorrow and try to get you guys more answers by tomorrow. But this is uncharted territory for us, I should say. We're not familiar with this part of, I can say, I'm not familiar with this part of Texas. This right here by the border, but we're here. And I thank God, the Most High, the Creator, that the comrades Houston up and down to see what was going on there. See, this is where Sierra was saying earlier, and Brother Travis was saying, this is the way where unity comes in. You know, well, what they call it? Cover down, hold the line. You know,
yes.
In 48 hours, we probably functioned on about 4 hours sleep. But that spirit of the Most High and the ancestors is moving through us. And so it's a good feeling to know, you know, we way down at the border, and we want to know what's going on with our people there in Houston. And our comrades, this whole line has come back and let us know, and to know that the brothers before us, the Hebrew brothers, came down and was able to do work and give reports. There's been a lot of self-determination going on. We got to keep this up. And and just like the other brother asked the question, we trying to find the same answer. But, you know, that is when we woke up to this morning, what was told to us. Yeah, I think they were, that they cleared them up. It sounds like, is somebody trying to say something? Is that Gerald trying to sound like another?
Was that you, Brother Gerald? Were you trying to say something?
No, it wasn't for me. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Want to go ahead and finish the script. I wanted to add something. Yeah, I wanted to add something to share what I was saying. We talked earlier, brothers. I mentioned some different things, you know, based on the law when it comes to asylum. There's different types of asylum. We're talking about political asylum. We talk about a process where it is in the law books internationally. First and foremost, we understand that international law supersedes state, local, and federal law, the United States government, the 1980 Refugee Act, and also a prior United Nations charter that deals with asylum seekers that America did not follow through with actually becoming a member, so they're able to, you know, do little politics to try to get over. And again, that's so that other nations around the world, you know, maybe, you know, don't see what's happening, but we know that they clearly do. You know, when somebody is seeking asylum at the border of Mexico coming into America, within a week of them seeking asylum, so from the first day, if this is day one, between day one and day seven, I'm supposed to receive a reasonable fear screening meeting with the DHS officer or a ICE Immigration Customs Enforcement Agency officer, you know, within 7 days of my, if using myself as an example, will be coming to the border. I think that's something that we definitely need to look deeper into, because what we've seen from the Trump administration, of the reworking of the white man, the United States constitutional law, which we know is not worth the paper that it's written on, you know, but in the process of raising a contradiction, which we must do, you know, we see how, you know, these people have manipulated the law, and Biden is no different. The Biden and Harris administration, as much as they talk about what Trump did, or what they have not removed the MMP Act that was placed in by Donald Trump January of 2019, which sends people who are coming from a third-party country back to their original country without DHS or ICE reasonable fear screening process. You also have a situation where, as we can clearly tell, as Sister Crystal mentioned, you're having black men, Haitian men, being if they're by themselves. And remember when all of this broke out, when DHS released the statement, I don't know if y'all remember, and they said that they were deporting single adults. They didn't say single male adults. And we know based on what we dealt with these people that was on purpose. You know what I'm saying? Because it comes down to the psychology of the enemy. You know, they feel threatened by black men. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, these are all things, and I agree with Sister Crystal. It really is great to hear that our people are being treated humanely in Houston, Texas, you know, but then dealing with the Border Patrol, DHS, and ICE, you know, not only have we seen them doing this for years, but as you said, Brother Gerald, for some of us, it's an introduction, but for some of us, it's a reintroduction. You know what I'm saying? To the brutal, wicked, criminal, bloody, slave, chattel slavery, Jim Crow, you know, all of this has never gone away. You know, what we are seeing is a continuation of slavery. It is not a reworking. It's not a rebirth or an awakening. And we need for our people to understand that, because what this boils down to is self-determination. You know, we have to be self-determined. The Haitian people are on the same side of the hemisphere as the American continent, so-called. You know, these are our brothers and sisters. You know, and to put yourself in that position, we have to look at the geographical location of Haiti. How do these people, what have they had to go through? Early on, we got reports of, people in Chile mistreating Haitian people and directly calling them spanking and disease. And many people who were seeking asylum out of Haiti, who went into Chile or other countries, were also facing racist treatment from South American countries. And Chile, mind you, is at the bottom of South America. It is the last country in South America. Could you imagine having to, it brings back to mind of the death marches. It brings back to mind of us, you know, being forced to walk miles and miles. Black women who died pregnant with children who could not make it, and some children who died in the womb. You know, for some of us, this may be, you know, I don't say introduction, but it shouldn't be, you know what I'm saying? This is what's been happening. And for it to be happening to a people, and a Haitian people, who we owe so much to for cultural perspective, who we owe so much to for a spiritual and political perspective, it really is a crisis. It really is a crisis. There's no other way to word it. It's a black nation crisis. It requires the participation of our people. For those that are listening in Houston, Texas, for those that are listening in the state of Texas in general, in the southern region and across this nation, from around the world, black people, we have a duty. The United Nations, the African Union, CARICOM, all of these different entities, we have a duty. It is our duty to protect our brothers and sisters. We are not basing our statements on American law. We are raising a contradiction that these people do not follow their own law. And since the establishment of this country, they have broken every law to get this country established, and they continue to break every law in the penal code book to keep it in order. It was a direct violation of human rights of the United Nations, Charter on genocide, ethnic cleansing. It was a direct human rights violation when we've seen our people being whipped at the border by DHS officers. It is a direct human rights violation to not allow people freedom of transportation and movement. When you put an ankle monitor on them, you are trying to track their movement. And so regardless of what, if it's Mexico, if it's America, it doesn't matter. It applies for America. It applies for Mexico. It applies for Canada and any other nation that borders another nation. If I live in Qatar and Qatar's government has some things going on, I'm fearful of what's going on, and I'm allowed to go to Saudi Arabia.
Explain the ankle monitor.
What? Yes.
But this is something that we found out, and everybody doesn't know. This is why we're talking about what they did to the brothers.
Right.
So we have images and everything. The brothers that were put on the buses that were not being involved in, they have ankle monitors on them. We're sending out images. Like, what the fuck do you need an ankle monitor? You know, it even got to the point, this is why I guess they had to hurry up and move them. The people that were put on the brothers that were put on the white buses that were getting deported, they got so upset they rocked over one of those buses. Yeah, there's a lot that's been going on. You know, so we are very thankful for the humane treatment that the people made to Houston are receiving. We are not going to turn a blind eye to the other people who were denied human rights and deported and mistreated. And this is, you know, we're going to cover all angles. And I think it's very awesome, Chief, something that Brother Travis said. We are self-determined people because the sister said, one of the other sisters let us know that when the Haitians come, the Haitian this is the different coalition. Atlanta and other, and they were saying that if someone had family here that could vouch for them, or if somebody was sponsored with them, that those were the ones who were definitely bought in. But there were a lot of people who didn't have family that were turned around and deported. So we have a lot of dynamic going on here. And so we just got to stay on top of that. I want to be clear about that. I just want to, this is where the anchor monitor support, and for those of you who wonder what we're talking about, you got better catch it.
And again, that's a violation of being able to have freedom of movement. You know, we're seeing human rights violations unfolding, you know, right in front of our very eyes. You know, the reason why I started with the 7-day reasonable fear is because that's very important. That's very important because if people are not, if you are not screening, they say that they're screening people, but what kind of screening is that? They doing some bootleg TSA screening. They're not sitting people down asking them. There's supposed to be an interview asked, why are you seeking asylum? What is going on? But they really don't have to ask that because let's be very blunt. Let's be very blunt. What happened to Jovenel Moise in Haiti when they assassinated the president and weeks and days after to find out the French government, the American government, they had a hand in it, they know what's going on in Haiti. If it's not that, it's the WHO's mission to going into Haiti and releasing species into the water to cause a Sahara outbreak. If it's not the hurricane and the earthquake, these people know why our brothers and sisters are fleeing from their nation. So, you know, they can't go back and act like as if they don't know. And I believe that's another reason why these meetings are being either, and like I said, we can't say because we have to get more information, either they're not being done or they're going by this MMP Trump administration, Trump Pence administration statute that they put in called Statute 45. And we want all our people to look at this that actually does away with the reasonable fear screening from the DHS. So this is very key. What do you brothers think about that information as it relates to, you know, moving forward and what you all think, you know, moving forward needs to be done not only locally in Houston but as well dealing closer to the border?
Well, that was, can anybody hear me?
I can't hear you. Sounding kind of low, brother.
Okay. This is Brother Gerald.
Okay. I can't hear you, Brother Gerald. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, as the question was asked earlier, it seems like all the people are gone. So if the media can act like it's nothing there to see no more, we even as a people, we will move on. We'll forget about it. You know, it'll be some football games tomorrow and some football games Sunday, and we back into that. You know, we back into partying and whatnot. If they don't show us, then it's out of our memory. We will, and just like that's what they did on the media. Hey, there's nothing to see there no more. They, and, you know, we done destroyed the camp. Now, your question, again, is quite like, wait a minute, there were 15,000 people there. I know I ain't 15,000 people made it to America, but the numbers that they're showing as of lately that I heard, that they sent 2,000 back to Haiti on 17 flights and took 2,000 people back to Haiti. And they had said at least 36 of them have been processed through Houston, 3,600. Processed through Houston. And then they were saying something about many of the other ones, for whatever reasons, went back to Mexico. Now, again, that may be many of the men or whatever is going on. They said it was more safer in Mexico to deal with whatever is going on at the border. They was going to wait it out, you know, and try it another time. At least that is what the media is telling us now from the last updates that I've seen. Take that with a grain of salt. You know how we do. We got to do our own information. But that's definitely what they're saying. One of those things that I did here that might need to be emphasized to them, because they be changing those laws on what you can claim and whatnot. But one claim that they say that they will have to bring you on this side, if you claim that you were tortured. You know, and that information got to me. They cannot deny you. They were trying to say, as you were saying earlier, they're changing laws and they're doing certain different things when they deal with our melanin people, laws that they never had before. They come out the woodworks with them, you know, and implement them, you know. And a lot of this is we as Americans, we are ignorant. We let our government keep us ignorant as they're keeping, you know, the white people. If we don't research and we don't step outside of that, we believe the same thing as them. The world don't know that it's a crisis going on where just masses of people are moving around. When they're seeing all these people trying to come here, yeah, they are going through trauma in the world. They are being destabilized. And these rich, powerful countries are the ones that's doing it to the masses of the people, the masses of the melanated people in the world are being displaced with these. You always hear them, when you hear the Americans talking about it, and especially the white people, they understand these numbers. They understand numbers more than anything. They understand that their numbers are decreasing. They understand this blackening of America. And they doing whatever is in their power to try to prevent it. You can't blame them. This is what they're supposed to be doing. They're trying to protect their interests. They're trying to protect everything that they stole from people. You know, they're trying to protect it at all costs. They're not just going to give it up. Even if we show them, hey, you lied. You stole this here. You took it. We've been doing that since Facebook. We've been educating the people on, hey, this is what they stole. Look at this lie. Look at this. Now, I mean, even to speak about history, to speak about racism and white supremacy right now, you will get banned. That, for you to say that they exposing them, who are they? They're telling you, you doing the hate speech. When you try to tell about our history, and the history is what connects us to the present. They do not want you to connect the history to the present.
Look how on point you are. Those brothers that came down and from Houston to bring those supplies to the people the other day, and then they went across the border. Do you know what they started telling the people the next day? They told them that they was terrorists. The Mexican government started telling the people that those brothers that came to bring down supplies was terrorists. So you're absolutely right on your point. I just wanted to jump in and just to say how shady they are.
Right. We get called the terrorists. We get called the racists. We get called. We are the ones that, and again, that's historically. You see, they kill us. You'll see the police kill us and they say, stop resisting. They'll tell a dead man, stop resisting. We'll arrest them. We'll put handcuffs on dead people that they know they've killed unarmed. Still in that narrative that we are always doing something wrong. And most times, sometimes we'll buy into that. We'll start telling each other, well, if we didn't do this, if we pull our pants up, and if we didn't talk this way, and if we, no. They do it all the time, regardless of what we're doing. It's because of the color of our skin. It's automatically on sight for them. We don't understand that. We try to say that we this, that, and other. They see black. They see threat. They see genetic annihilation. And as Dr. Francis Cress Wilson taught us, they plan their side of chess. Sometimes we complain we don't know what to do, but they definitely playing chess. They trying to checkmate us by any means necessary. So the first thing that we do, the first thing that our ancestors taught, and that's what we show, we have to have a black united front. We got to come together. We have to come together and then talk about it. What's going on? Let me get with some brothers and sisters of like minds. Hey, you see that? Yeah, I saw that too. What should we do? Let's find some solutions to our problems. That's what the whole goal of any of our people that have been fighting since the times of trying to find a solution to their problem. These people done captured me and then enslaved me and then didn't declare war on me. I didn't know I was in the war. They knew I was in the war. Enslaved me. So we've been trying to fight. We rebelled. We rioted. The struggle still continues. I had one of my comrades put up that picture with the man on the horse with the, because it goes back to the Haitian Revolution. They got pictures in the Haitian Revolution with the same thing. Oh, she was flagged. Now, you can't put that up. Don't do that. You know? So, again, us even exposing these things right now, we're looked at as the bad guys. For anybody that's an activist, anybody a revolutionary, anybody that's been a freedom fighter in these last couple of years, you've been looked at as a bad guy, even by some of your own people, for standing up for your people, for standing up for right, for standing up for justice. We've been looked at as something negative. We're doing something wrong. But again, as I say, the struggle still continues. Nothing's going to stop us from doing what we need to do. You know, and again, I salute all the revolutionaries, freedom fighters, and activists that have been part of this thing dealing with Haiti, that stepped up to the cause. You know, salute, salute. And for the many more that will come out and get involved, salute. You know, whatever's in your heart. And we need more people from the Houston, from Texas, or anybody listening on these calls. It's time to step up, people. It's time to get involved. You know, it's time to get involved. That's Black Power, Black
Love. What it's all about. That's what it's all about, Brother Jerry. You're right on. But it's about self-determination, you know, in that same light. You know, again, this has been a collective effort, you know, with everything that's unfolding. You know, we linked up with Brother Jay Morrison, right, with the Legacy Center. You know, and this brother, for those of you who don't know, I mean, this brother has an amazing story. And has really, you know, been a great example, you know, of leadership and just a stand-up brother, you know, in the city of Atlanta and across the nation. You know, the brother is a real estate mogul, you know, but the brother comes from humble beginnings, you know, and this brother has never allowed for his success to blur his vision on what the people need or what, you know, his vision on work and, you know, being a freedom fighter. You know, this is a brother who we've been working with for years, you know what I'm saying? And he's been on the ground with us.
Hey, which way do I go?
In Alton Sterling, and he made it down along with Sister Megan of Haitians for Atlanta. Atlanta for Haitians. Great brother, great sister, you know, and it's just powerful, very powerful, very powerful. And salute back to you, brother. Salute back to you, Brother Travis, Brother Gerald. Salute to you all. You know what I'm saying? Because like you say, I mean, with black folks everywhere, you know what I'm saying? But this is the call out. It's self-determination. We have to be self-determined, you know. And I asked the same question to you, you know, Brother Travis. You being the commander of the New Black Panther Party Southern Region, you know, and, you know, just, you know, what do you feel? Same question that I asked Brother Gerald. Moving forward, you know, both locally and dealing closer to the border, you know, what do you feel needs to happen? And you know, like we say, I mean, this extends outside of Houston, Texas, and Texas, and it extends internationally as well. But what would you say, Brother Travis, in the same light to what Brother Chief of Staff, Brother Gerald was saying?
You know, I can just keep it short and simple. We have to unite, you know, and that's all what need to take place, and that's all what don't have to take place. You know, if we don't unite, you know, we're going to fall. Black fire, black love.
That's right. That's right. And I said it often on this broadcast, what these people do on one end or one situation, like you said, Brother Gerald, when we just let sleeping dogs die, you go back to your football games and you watch rich men play with balls all day, you know what I'm saying, and find some kind of entertainment
as they flaunt their white women and their money in your face and in your children's faces, as they push vaccine mandates and proving this thing is killing folks. You know what I'm saying? These cannot possibly be the outlets or the things that are most beneficial to us. No, it's like you said, Brother Gerald. We cannot let this just die easy for some Sunday damn football game. No. You know, this is a situation like all other situations, police murders, police assassination, you know, all of this stuff that we see that happens at the hands of the pig, that happens at the hands of the state. One thing, and how we deal with it as a nation, it sets a tone. They move forward on that tone. So what will that tone be? Because you see, as freedom fighters, we're only moving in the only tone that we know. You know what I'm saying? So I want to ask you, Brother Jared, you know, do you see that the same, you know, when these things happen, our response and how they move forward is based on our response?
Oh, yes. Yeah, again, playing chess. When you understand that, they will test us. They will see where we at all times. And again, that testing is to see if we're ready. They know we're not ready for certain things. And again, if we are ready, it's only a certain few. So let's go back to you gave me a salute back. I haven't given you y'all propers. Y'all are a revolutionary organization. New Black Panther Party. Y'all are putting boots on the ground in Del Rio. No one else is doing that. There's no other formation down there. That credit and that legacy goes to y'all. As being united, when I see y'all down there, I'm down there also. So again, I have to give you and Crystal in your formation. Salute. Because y'all are down there. Without that makes Houston, that makes Texas, that makes all revolutionaries look crazy. So we have to give props where they do. And again, I know that y'all haven't been on too much risk. We talked to y'all. Y'all been on the move in the spirit of the Panther, how a Panther's supposed to move. Not a house cat. So again, salute. Salute to y'all for doing that. Y'all were down there. Y'all have the documentation. And that makes us feel good because 2 days earlier, we were there at one place here in Houston. And again, y'all left us to take care of what was down here in Houston, and y'all would say y'all would handle the border. And y'all have done that, and I hope that y'all are satisfied with us, the work we've done. But as you're saying, brother, as the question, there's more work to do. The concept you hear people saying, stay woke. That's what we mean, stay woke. Don't go back to sleep. And once you understand that, the struggle continues. It's a continuing struggle. It's a continuing struggle. It's something that's always happening with our people. We have to be in a readiness state. We have to be organized. What the ancestors say is we're not organized. And then sometimes when we do get organized, there's a lot of pettiness that comes in with it. So what we do, we'll understand from that, even if you're a part of the organization, there's still only a few people in that organization that are leaders. Leaders of one organization hook up with the leaders and the movers and the shakers of another organization. Put aside your little small differences and get that work done. It might not be the group that you came in with. And everybody who's a revolutionary or activist, y'all know what I'm talking about. You got members in your group that's just a part of it, but they ain't doing nothing. You want them to move. You want to move with them. But you see other people that's not a part of your organization, not a part of your group, that are activists, that are moving. Get with those people. Y'all are the like-minded people. New Black Panther Party's 9 local objectives. Number one, Black United Front. Connect with the people who are doing this work. For people who are out there that are listening, that are scared to do the work, scared to get involved, don't know what to do, fear that the job or what, don't fear about what if they're not going to support this, they ain't your damn friends, no way. Or if you're worried about what your family going to say. No, it's not about that. If this is in your heart to what to do, there's a New Black Panther Party, Southern Regional New Black Panther Party. There are organizations in bus. You can help out with the Shape Center. You can help out with the Shrine of the Black Madonna here in Houston. There are things that you can do. Everybody's not going to be a revolutionary. We understand that. But there's something that everyone can do. Black power, black love.
Yes, sir, brother. Black power. You know, I want to go deeper into it, you know, Brother Gerald, just politically, you know, based on, you mentioned something very important. You talked about how with the media, the controlled press influence, how these people can just make these situations disappear for ignorant folks. You know, what do you think is the solution to that? When we talk about self-determination, we also talk about the knowledge of self. You know, what are some pointers you can give to the people on things that we can do to become more self-determination, more self-determined so in these situations we respond greater?
Okay, with the situation that happened here in Haiti, okay? We heard about the Haiti. The first thing that most people are going to do if you're an activist, the first thing is a protest. That's just to get anybody involved who sees. That's when you'll get the masses of people if you do a protest or a march. After you get those protests and at those marches, you're going to see even people there be like, I'm tired of protesting, I'm tired of marching. Those are the people that you look at. Okay, you want to do more? You know, we're looking for those people. Okay, so those people become organized. Now, once you're a part of an organization, you got goals. You got, you know, if something happens, you should have standard operation procedures. Okay, we heard about Haiti. We went and protested. The next thing is you have to investigate, because if you're listening to their media, you're only getting their side. How did we investigate? Crystal Muhammad's organization, your organization went down to the border. You went down there. You are our ears. You are our voice because you were there. That takes work. That takes people who are in, who want to literally put some boots on the ground. You're going to have to leave your home. You got to go get on that road. You're going to have to ask the chair lady to say, I've been in Texas, but I ain't familiar with this. You're going to be going to places that you're not familiar with. And you want to be with brothers and sisters that are going to have your back. You know what I'm saying? So that's the first part. You have to do your own investigation. That's when anything happens. When these killings, with whatever, you have to do your own investigation. Once you do your investigation, you simply try to find a solution to the problem. That's the brothers and sisters of your organization coming together. Okay, this is what happened. You know, how can we find, what is the solution? You know, do we have to get people to come to talk about, you know, is it education? Is it more, whatever it is. But that's, the self-determination comes because we're not going to ask nobody. We're going to figure it out ourselves. That's us being in the game. That's not us being on the sideline no more and talking about it and typing about it and all this stuff. We actually in the game trying to figure it out. And we will make mistakes and we will be criticized. But because we're in the game and because of the sincerity, we can correct those mistakes. We can correct those mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. We've been making mistakes. Our ancestors made mistakes. If they didn't, we would be out of this situation. We haven't figured it out yet. We're just doing our part during this time. The ancestors that we call on to and we look back to, from Marcus Garvey, Harriet, they were doing their part. They were getting organized. They were talking amongst people of like minds. They were trying to find solutions. Okay, the solution is the chain on my ankle. Shit, I'm finna run away from the chain. I'm finna get away. Okay, they doing this law like this here. Yeah, we finna protest. We finna do whatever to try to change this law. We finna get involved. A lot of people lost their lives when they got involved. That's why we don't want to get involved today. Yeah, it's dangerous. You know, it's not gonna be pity. It's sacrifice that is for your people. It's for the freedom and liberation of our people. And unless you think we have that freedom and liberation, a lot of people can say that until we see, again, we just seen that with the horses. Before that, we seen, you know, again, we just think about this here. What will, the whole thing dealing with the police brutality, right? They got mad at us for what? Taking a knee, right? They got mad at Colin Kaepernick for taking a knee. And shit just went crazy. Then to them to end it, the guy took a knee on James Floyd neck, and we didn't see that. And I say, Ashe to Brother Floyd. But he took a knee on his neck to show us, here's y'all knee. You know what I'm saying? So people can get all relaxed and think that we've made it. And again, we have, again, to say that we haven't come over some obstacles, you know, I would be lying to say we haven't overcome. But no, you know, the oppression is still upon us. We're still fighting. When you start talking about things in the negative and cancer and dying, we're always at the top of the list. At the top of the list of everything when it comes to negativity. So we can't go back to sleep. We can't go back to sleep because a couple of our people have made some money. A couple of our people have gotten famous. A couple of our people have become billionaires. Now we can't go back to sleep. We can't think we've made it. For us that are out here that are grinding and putting in their work, we know when those people, well, for whatever situation that they've been through at that time when they call on us and we're there, as far as the Haitians, as far as anything that has happened, any maneuver that I made, those people, when us revolutionaries or activists or freedom fighters show up, those people are genuinely happy that we are there. We've answered their call. And that's what self-determination is. Being able to try to solve your problems and solve your own people's problems without asking permission for nobody to do it. Let's get together and let's figure it out. So you're asking the right questions. What should we do in the future? What's going to happen in the future? Again, it's for us that are still doing the investigation, and then we still have to educate our people. Because, again, they've told us today that it's all over. Ain't nothing to see no more down there. So most of our people don't care about it. They're going to be looking to something else. You know what I'm saying? So it's up to us to make sure our people know what's going on. That's what Marvin Gaye wrote the song, What's Going On? He was talking about that time during the political strife. You know, brothers, killing each other, you know. Same thing that's going on. That's what he wrote that song, What's Going On? Brothers back in the day used to say, what's happening? What's up? That wasn't just being cool. That was political talk. What's up? What's happening? Okay, then you see what's going on with people in Haiti. That's what's happening. What are you doing? What are you planning to do to help our people in Haiti? What's happening? Hey, our people just were displaced down in Florida. I mean, in Louisiana, dealing with the hurricanes. That's what's happening. That's what's up. What do you want to do about it? Let's do something about it. Let's us do something about it. Let's figure out a solution. So again, it's the investigation, getting with people of like minds, figuring out a solution to the problem, and put in work. It might not work. The solution that you come up with might not work. You're testing it. If it don't work, you try something else. Again, with that sincerity of the heart, by us being in the game, not being on the sideline, we're in the game. So yeah, we're going to get criticized, but them, they watching, them fans of us. So you don't take that. Do you think players care what fans say? Really? No, but each fan has the potential to be in the game. I once was a fan. I once was watching. I once criticized. I once was the Monday morning quarterback, you know, or the ESPN analyst, what somebody should have did and this, that, and the other. It's easier to do that. It's easier to be a critic. One of the hardest things for me to do was to get suited and booted, to put on that uniform and commit to something. But it was one of the best things that I've done, being a revolutionary for my people. looking for a complete constructive change for my people, working with brothers and sisters of like minds who also want to put on this uniform, continue their struggle, want to be a part of the legacy of those people that they name. You want to be named like those people. You want to be able to say when your grandchildren come up to you, grandmother, grandfather, I just read something about Altus Sterling, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor. What did you do during that? What did you do during them times? What was you doing, grandmother? What was you doing, grandfather? Pull out your documentation on them. Let them watch. And I was a part of it. I wasn't just sitting back. And that's one of the greatest feelings. It's one of the greater feelings to be a part of what's going on, to know what's going on, and you being a part of that change, not just accepting what was given to us, because a lot of our people are, you know, they'll sit back and whatever's, you know, the spoils from the victories that we win, they'll take them. They ain't finna fight. I want to be a part of that. I am a part of it. We are a part of it. And I salute each and every one of you comrades, freedom fighters and activists that are taking part in the struggle in these times. Black power, black love.
Black power, brother Gerald. Yes, sir. Man, let me tell you, everything you said was spot on, right on point, radio. Everything you said was spot on. I'm not talking to myself. But you know what, man? I just got to say, man, you know, all of this is going on, comrades. You know, like the brother says, easily solvable. You know what I'm saying? We may not, you know, be able to fix things overnight, but we don't plan on doing that. We understand that this is going to be a protracted battle. It's a protracted struggle. It's a war of attrition. You know, and to be around people who understand that, it just makes it all the more easier. You talked about being around folks you know are going to have their back. Well, who's got the back of the Haitian people? That needs to be us. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
You know, who's got the back of the people in Guinea who are being who are also facing political turmoil in Guinea, in Guinea-Bissau, who are facing political turmoil? Yes, sir. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like who gonna look out for these people if we're looking for any of these devils, you know, to do for our people, you know, then we being very foolish. You know what I'm saying? You talked about how, you know, it's the fear of people and things that have happened in the past that lead them into their complacency, but we know also fear is not understanding. So we have to do a better job of understanding ourselves and understanding the situations that we face. Because it makes things all the more easy. You know what I'm saying? We're still out here moving around. I want to thank you two brothers for coming on tonight, you know, and really just letting the people know what's going on. I mean, that's the most important thing is that we can hear. We can hear from the people on the ground. You know what I'm saying? We're not getting secondhand information. This is coming from, you know, Southern Region New Black Panther Party, Brother Travis, the commander, Brother Gerald, the chief of staff, their comrades, our comrades, our allies. This is coming from the New Black Panther Party. It's coming from the National Black United Front. It's coming from the Nation of Islam. It's coming from stand-up organizations that have been doing this work. Real deal, young entrepreneur freedom fighters like Brother Jay Morrison, the sister Megan that showed up. Like, these are our brothers and sisters who really do care. You know what I'm saying? And the worst thing in the world is to talk to somebody and you tell them what's going on with the people and they ask you what you going to do about it. And you know what we say? We say, brother, we say, sister, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know what I'm saying? It's not on just a few of us. Yes, sir. It's not on just a few of us. It's on all of us. And we have to be self-determined and realize that. You know what I'm saying? I want to take out the time as we move into, you know, we're in the last quarter of our broadcast. I wanna circle back around to Brother Travis, commander of the Southern Region New Black Panther Party. I wanna know if there's anything else you have to add, brother, and how do people in Houston, Texas get involved with the Southern Region New Black Panther Party? You know, how can people help with you all's Feed the People program and the other things that you all do? Brother Travis, can you hear us? I think the mic is still open, brother. Can you hear me, Brother Gerald?
Yeah, I can hear you if you can hear me.
Yes, sir, I can hear you. I think we just may be getting some strange things going on the soundboard, because you know they mess around with the soundboard. But if you can answer that question, I'm sure, Brother Gerald. How do people get involved? You know, how do people help out doing the things that you all are doing as a community organization, as a militant political organization? Like, how do they get involved in Houston, Texas to help out, you know, as we're talking about self-determination?
Again, there are many different little places here in Houston. One is the Shrine of the Black Madonna. One is the Shape Community Center. You have NBUF. As far as us, we don't have a building or anything like that. So most of the times we're just working, just like I said, collectively with other organizations and any events that come out. And if somebody wants to, because usually if we're in uniform, you can kind of tell people if they want to really become active, they'll come maybe ask you a question or two. But we're out there. We're going to be out there. Just like you guys are going to be out there. So it's just being acquainted. You'll hear me saying things like the usual suspects. It's just the usual suspects usually, they keep showing up. They show up to everything. Some kind of way they know. We know. If you are one of those people, or if we see you come around, you're going to eventually join something. Because the key is to get organized. You can't do it by yourself, you know. So if you see one of us out and about and you interested in joining, or if you're interested in any other organization that's here in Houston, ask us. We'll, you know, there's no beefing with each other here in Houston. You know, we just want you to become involved. So you got many different, like I said, the NOI, NBUF. National New Black Panther Party, Southern Region New Black Panther Party. We have a brother that does work, Brother OG1. You know, he works with the gangs, you know, and the misguided youth, you know. We have the drama circle. We have brothers and sisters who can use their talent to deal with the music and the drumming. So it's many different outlets that one can do. Again, you must come out and be amongst where we at. You have to be involved. It's not something that just, again, you can talk to people. You know, a lot of people are talking, but we're talking about activism, being seen, putting boots on the ground, you know. And again, if you are one of those persons that are interested in that, you will see Sister Crystal. You will see Brother Travis or myself. You will see Brother Chief. You will see Brother Kofi. You will see Brother from the Shape. I don't know why his name is escaping me. But you will see us. That's what we do, you know. And if you want to become involved, just like I think everybody hear about the Masons, to be one, ask one. We're all looking for recruits. We're all looking for members. We're all looking for activists, freedom fighters, revolutionaries. You know, all they have to do is be in your heart. And for those that join, that those that become active, it's not a sprint. This is a marathon. This is lifetime work. For those that might be listening and wonder, hey, wait a minute, why y'all worried about Haiti? We are Pan-Africanists, okay? We are Pan-Africanists. So we connect to melanin people wherever they are across this whole planet. You know, so those are our people. We have an interest in them. You know, this is 101 years after the Sometimes many people see that RBG flag. That's a Pan-African flag created by Marcus Garvey. They told Marcus Garvey that the coon didn't have a flag. He created the great RBG in 1920. So it has been existing for 101 years. And that's what we, that is something that we stand for. We are Pan-Africans, RBG. So wherever our people at, anywhere on this planet, we connect with them. We feel their pain. We feel their struggle. We're with them with their wins. And the same thing, they are like that with us. Have y'all seen when George Floyd or Ahmaud Arbery, we had Africans on the continent, Africans in all parts of the world connecting with that struggle, connecting and understanding the police brutality that we're going through under here. They're with us and we're with them. You know, so for anybody that don't understand that connection, you know, for anyone that wants to get involved, just get involved. Black power, black love.
Black power, black love. And we again want to extend our thanks to you, Chief Staff, Brother Gerald, Southern Region New Black Panther Party. We want to also extend our thank you to the commander of the Southern Region New Black Panther Party, Brother Travis Rain. It looks like his phone may have died, so please do, you know, circle that back to him. But I know he already knows, you know, how tired
yes,
we
sir.
Already are, you know what I'm saying? Right, just being on the ground, you know. So I want to thank you all for coming on and giving the field report. And they'll be back because there's going to be so much work being done. We'll have to continue to update. And we want to thank all of our listeners for listening to this broadcast tonight. Now, when y'all tuned in here earlier, you were hearing our great ancestor. You were hearing our Black Power General, Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, Irvin, you the 1-2 with a three-piece combo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the same
yeah.
way that we opened up our broadcast is the same way we're going to close it out. We thank you for listening to New Black Panther Party Radio every night. You can join the New Black Panther Party by visiting our national website at nbpp.org. You can support the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense by sending your heartfelt participation-based monetary contribution to nbppblackcross.com. We have been discussing the crisis that has been going on between our brothers and sisters from Haiti and the United States government. We heard tonight from the Southern Region of the New Black Panther Party, Brother Commander Travis Rain, as well as the Chief Southern Region of the New Black Panther Party Chief of Staff, Brother Gerald. And you can listen to our broadcast. If you miss any of our broadcasts, you can visit blogtalkradio.com/the New Black Panther Party. Once again, comrade, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Thank you to all of our listeners that joined us from around the world, from across the nation. Tonight has been about Haiti, but it's also been about self-determination. And we want to make sure that we continue, as you said, brother, we don't want to lose touch of what has happened to us. We don't want to get comfortable and forget who we've been dealing with. You know what I'm saying? So with that in mind, let us take this broadcast out. It's been very powerful tonight with the great ancestral word of our eternal ancestor, Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. Black power and black love, man.
Black power, black love. Great job.
A man in a big payback. Got to get back. I need some get back.
During Reconstruction, we held every major position you can imagine. From the 41st Congress to the 56th Congress, we were involved in every one of the congressional systems or the congressional process from that 41st to the 56th. We were mayors. We were judges. We were sheriffs. We were senators. We were congressmen. And even B.K. Bruce of the Treasury Department, a black man, had his signature on all paper money in the United States of America. So it made no difference that a redneck camel breath, snuff-dipping, tobacco-chewing, straw-chewing, beer-belly, overall-wearing, Deckerwood, hated niggas, every cracker in order to buy anything had to spend money with a black man's signature during Reconstruction on the paper money. But when white folks got tired of niggas being in political positions of authority over them, they lined up armed white men at the door of Congress. Bishop Henry McNeil Turner of the AME Church, armed guards, stood at the door of Congress and would not permit Bishop Henry McNeil Turner, a black elected public official and a congressman, to enter the halls of Congress. They stood at the door of the mayor's office. They lined armed guards up at the sheriff's office, a black sheriff elected to be the sheriff of the town. But crackers stood at the door with their guns and said, no more nigger sheriffs in this town. And brought another big beer-bellied Peckerwood with overalls on, who was the new sheriff, Big Bubba. And they said, nigga, Big Bubba's the sheriff here in town now. No more nigger sheriff. And if you don't get away from here, we're going to arrest you. Judges were unseated.
That's right.
Senators were unseated. And Knight Riders, Ku Klux Klan, and disgruntled, angry, egotistical white men decided that it was a period that had to be stopped, that blacks were infringing on the rights of white people. Does it sound familiar? They're talking about the angry white male today. And under charges of exaggerated corruption, exaggerated corruption in politics, the poor black man was swept from political positions. It looked like a period of political prosperity. But when the white man got tired of black people being in these political positions, he drove us from these political positions. But you're running all over the place, ready to vote. Some of you with your dreadlocks, you're ready to vote. Some of you with an African name as long as North Avenue, you're ready to vote, trying to decide which cracker you're going to vote for. And it's not even the popular vote that determines who the president is going to be. It's the Electoral College vote that determines who the president is going to be. And you're going to go behind a glorified shower curtain pulling a lever, trying to decide which one of these suckers you're going to vote for. It's impossible to defend black law and not break white law. Impossible to defend white law and not break black law. The two are diametrically opposed, 180 degrees different from each other. You cannot seek freedom and independence for black people and talk integration talk with white folks. You cannot talk out of both sides of your mouth. It's impossible to do that. You cannot say we must get away from the color game and the skin game when you are black and your color and your melanin is what marks you and hooks you with the universe and links you with the spiritual, divine, universal, and cosmological order of things. You cannot say we must get away from that and say that you are defending divine law and defending black law.
Right.
We, brothers and sisters, must understand the very nature in which God has created us. We are righteous by nature. We are other than righteous by circumstance. It is 400 years in specific and 6,000 years in general under the white man that has put us in this condition. 400 years in specific and 6,000 years in general that causes us to break black law today. You can't say you're defending black law when you will eat anything. Put anything in your body. Eat whatever you saw the peckerwood eat. Ham hocks might be good for the white man. Pork chops and pig feet might be good for the white man. A whole lot of meat might be good for the white man. But it's not good for your delicate system. You cannot defend white law and not offend and break black law at the same time. Remember, your law is not what is written on paper, but it is the very nature in which God has created you. And I'm happy that they asked me to say a word, at least, on black law. Let's go further with the subject that was given to me here tonight, dealing with revolution and dealing with war coming in America, and what the topic theme is to reflect and focus on guidelines for war. Make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters, war is coming in this country.
Yes, sir.
War is coming in this country on an escalated level. We're already in a war. We may not be at war, but we're definitely in a war. And the white man is waging warfare against us in every field, in every discipline, on every plane.
Yes,
it makes no difference if you're a basketball nigga. The white man is waging war against basketball niggas. A football one, a baseball one, an actor on the big movie screen or the small television screen. It makes no difference. The white man is waging war.
Yes,
if you work as a janitor or a maintenance engineer on the job, the white man is waging war. He's cutting the food stamps. He's waging war. He's cutting affirmative action. He's waging war. Section 8 entitlement. He's waging war. The attack on the black student who cannot finance an education, the white man is waging war. He is working to maintain white supremacy. And all over America, they are now beginning to kill us at an alarming rate. Shoot us 25.
Sold tickets. They had excursions, caravans, train rides to see a major sporting event. A nigga lynched today. Two niggas lynched today. Three niggas, four niggas lynched today. Billie Holiday would sing the song of Bessie Smith, one of them, about trees in the South with a strange fruit with blood at the root. This is the strange fruit. The black man, black woman, Billie Holiday. Take pregnant black women, bring them out in front of other black women. Strip them naked. There in the Holocaust, you can stay right there, brother. Right in the Holocaust Memorial, they had piles of shoes, as though I was supposed to be impressed. And they said, well, over in Germany, we have just rooms full of shoes. They took all of the personals of these people from them. Wasn't that cruel? I said, God damn it, we didn't even have. You can't pile no shoes up in a room for us because we didn't even have shoes. When they took us from Africa, they stripped us of our diamonds and our gold and our silver, our material resource, our spiritual resource, and our human resource.
Yes, sir.
And when we came here, most of the time we didn't have shoes. We went barefoot. Huh?
Right.
Stripped the black woman of whatever little tattered rag she had. 9 months pregnant. Tie up. Tie horses to one leg. Horses to the other leg. Beat the horses. Make them run in opposite directions until they rip and pull the black woman apart and the unborn black baby fall from her, and a no-good cracker would bring another black woman out, her stomach full 9 months with the fruit of her womb. Take his knife and stick it in a full stomach with the roundness of a stomach, rip it open and stick his AIDS, syphilis, gonorrhea hand inside and snatch the unborn black baby from her, throw it to the ground and crush the baby's head with his boot heel, and make other pregnant black women watch so that the adrenaline of fear would course its way through her veins and bathe her brains and touch the unborn life in her hoping that the babies would be born, afraid of a wicked, cruel slave master. Look at this no good bastard. And some of you want to integrate with him. I believe in freedom and independence. I believe in separation and independence. A nation of our own. That's right. A nation of our own. That's the book. Some of you don't want to go nowhere. You want to stay right here with the white man. Freedom and independence. If the founding fathers of America could call for freedom and independence, under conditions that were nowhere near the conditions that we have been and are operating under today, why can't we call for freedom and independence? Our own flag, our own nation, our own government, our own laws. But most of you just want to intellectualize the subject. You think we can read our way out of this. You better read, but you better get up and get ready to get free. Most of you want to sing, "We Shall Overcome." You better add another stanza, "We Shall Overrun." Lift every voice and sing, but you better lift every fist and swing too. At the same time, if we're going to gain freedom and independence. I'm a soldier. I was born that way. I don't care about nothing else but that. But aren't you afraid that you are going to get killed? Jesus, the black revolutionary Messiah, said, "He or she who seeks to save his life shall lose his life. And he who is willing to give his life for her life shall save their life." But I don't want to die for the cause. I'll kill for the cause. It's the only way we'll get free. But we got a mighty God that is backing us up today, sending irregular rain, snow, hail, and earthquake, and confusing the government of the white man and the minds of the white man. The Catholic Church admitted their role in slavery. The so-called Jews want to lie. We just were 2% of the population. Don't make no difference what percent you were. 75% of you, two-thirds of you, according to your own Jewish census takers and statistics, were involved in the slave trade. I didn't say 75% of all the slaves were owned by the Jews. I said 75% of the Jews owned slaves. But you put a spin on it and a twist on it to make it seem ridiculous, because you're just a liar and the truth is not in you. As Jesus says in the 8th chapter of the book of John, that you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, Jesus said, he's a liar and the father of the lie. And Jesus said that his word had no place in the Jews. Read John, starting with the 8th chapter, starting with the 31st verse. Down to the 44th verse. And when I say Jesus up here, I'm not talking about no blonde-haired, blue-eyed, pale-skinned, buttermilk complexion, white Jesus. I'm talking about a black Jesus. That the Bible says would have nappy hair and his body would be like burnt bronze or brass, as though it had been burnt in an oven. Give the white man his white Jesus back, put it in the garbage can, set it out on the corner, and let the garbage man pick it up and take it to the garbage dump. It's a form of spiritual genocide, a form of mental genocide and Holocaust. That's right. 40 to 50 million Holocaust survivors still in the death camps of America, still in the ghettos of America, still robbed of our names with Harry McGillicuddy, Jim Dandy O'Houlihan, Abraham Lincoln Culpepper, Hattie Mae Hamburger with lettuce and tomatoes on the side. Robbed completely of a knowledge of ourselves. No other people in the annals of time have been so robbed and spoiled. The Bible said these are a people who are robbed and spoiled. They are snared in holes and hidden in prison houses. But we must rise up like Ra. Rise up like Ra. And take on a new life and take on a new birth. I say I criticize the Pope. I don't have any respect.